I'm a little nervous. The last time I was here speaking, I think it was titled to give the congregation instruction on how to care for your missionaries when Bronson's left. And I certainly don't want anybody leaving here tonight feeling like Marv knows how you should run a church. that's not my goal or ambition at all. But I was asked for ways to show appreciation to pastors. And I was, as I prayed about this and reflected on exactly what would I want your pastors to tell our congregation if it was reversed? And so I started going that direction, and then I thought, well, maybe that would be putting my feelings out too much. So bear with me. But as I would understand it, it's not just pastors and church leaders who have a responsibility to their church, but it's the congregants. You, as members, have responsibility to your pastors and leaders. And 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "We ask you," or if you want to strengthen that a little, it would say, "We urge you, brethren," to do what? First of all, to respect those who labor among you, those who are over you in the Lord, and those who admonish you. And that pretty well wraps up the responsibilities of your leadership, as I would understand it. Now there's other things like visiting the sick and, you know, those kind of things that would go along with it. But then he goes on and he says, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Now, here in this passage, leaders are described in three ways. Those that labor among you. And so we recognize our leaders by their service, not by their title. And some leaders function by their title. I'm Pastor so-and-so, with very little servanthood, very little service. And so, and then secondly, those who are over you in the Lord, which congregational leaders are over the congregation in the sense of providing headship. Kind of like a shepherd that's watching over his sheep. They're watching for danger. They're watching for something that might come in and ensnare one of them. They're watching for sickness. And in this case, spiritual sickness and those kind of things. And it references a clear and legitimate order of authority there. And then the third thing, as we said, was an admonish you. Leaders are looked to as those that admonish the congregation. You know, if a congregation, if something needs to be shared with the congregation, usually it's left to the ministry to do that. To admonish has the idea of caution or reprove gently. And may I insert here that it's a lot easier to admonish someone in the congregation if they want to be admonished. And so it's a heart condition on the part of all involved. So in a nutshell, your leaders are to labor among you, preaching, teaching the new believers class, visitation, performing weddings, funerals, those kind of things. They're to look after your soul. And are you aware someday they will give an account for how they led you? And then they're to admonish you if they see you heading away from spiritual things. And from experience, I can tell you, it's no small task to lead a group of believers. And so the question I'll address this evening is, how can you as a congregation show appreciation and make it easier for your leaders? And verse 13 there in the passage that I just read, if you just want to stick to that, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. But the last part, and be at peace among yourselves or among the brotherhood. You know, it's not really difficult to lead sheep that want to be led. But it's when you have several in the group that are constantly resisting being led that create the turmoil and the difficulty. And so as I was reflecting, what are the most important things for a congregation to do for their leadership? And probably the first thing that would come to mind is prayer. Pray for your leaders daily. You know, since the day that I was ordained, I don't think there's a day that I didn't think of the congregation and the needs in the congregation. And so reciprocate to your pastors, and the least you can do is pray for them on a daily basis as they're thinking of you daily. And let them know you're praying for them. There's numerous instructions in Scripture that we're to pray for our church leaders. Paul repeatedly asked for prayer from the churches he was leading, from God's people. Someone has said, and I quote, "You need not be seriously alarmed about any church whose membership is given to much fervent, sincere, and intelligent praying." And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You see, Satan targets the church leaders. Now, you may think you're getting a lot of temptation and Satan's really working on you, but do you know if Satan can get the church leaders, he can scatter the flock? So pray for your leaders. The second thing is encourage and appreciation. Appreciate those that diligently labor among you. Thank the Lord daily for their willingness to put themselves out. You know, I hear it from a lot of ministers that the time that they feel the most discouraged is when they leave the pulpit. You know, they've just spent hours and days preparing for this message, and then they deliver it, and that's when Satan hits them. Man, what a failure. You know, you really messed up on that one. So, commend them. And I would say when you meet your pastor afterwards that preached that morning or evening, whenever, you know, it's kind of mechanical to shake the hand and say, "Hey, I appreciate the message," or "Thank you for preaching this morning." But, you know, what's going through a minister's mind at that point is, what is it that you appreciated? And so just verbalize it. Take just one point. You know, back when soon after I was ordained, I preached my first messages, and I really wondered if I was connecting. And then people would come up. They'd shake your hand. Some of them would say, you know, hey, I appreciate the message, and they'd move on. Others would say a specific point. And you know, I've made it a point in my ministry to pray to God that he would take this message and he would break it apart and he would make it applicable for everybody in the congregation to take something away from it that will help them grow, or that may be a rebuke for something that they're needing to hear. And you know what was amazing to me in those early years, especially, to have somebody come up to me and say, you know, Marv, I really appreciate, and they would say the point in the message that they really appreciated, that really stood out and spoke to them. And I'm like, churning in my mind, how did they get that out of the message? Because I don't recall saying it. But you know, God has ways of speaking to every heart, if that's our prayer. We have a teenage girl in our church that every Sunday that she's there at church, and she seldom misses, she will write a note to the pastor who brought the message, put it in his mailbox. And it's not just a thank you note, but she will thank us for the message, and then she'll go on and she'll say what in the message really spoke to her that morning. And that means something. And for a long time, I was saving those notes. And it's a whole lot easier for your pastors to be cooped up in their study on a nice sunny day when they have numbers of other things they could or should be doing. And they know, and maybe it's a Saturday, they know that a group from church here went golfing this morning. Or, you know, you're out fishing with your son, or you're whatever. It's a whole lot easier to do that when you know somebody's going to appreciate what you're doing. We have received notes, anonymous at times, cards, flowers have been dropped off at our door, food's been left in our vehicle after church. We've been given certificates to restaurants and bookstores. There's any number of ways that you can show your appreciation. The one thing I would say about that, however, know your pastors well enough to know what's really going to bless them. Margaret and I, we don't drive 30 miles to eat out. We have good quality restaurants right in Goshen. And maybe we're too frugal to do it, but we don't drive 30 miles, especially with the price of gas now. We just don't. And so to be given a gift card to a restaurant that's only in South Bend, we'll probably pass it on to somebody else. You know, so know your pastors. Know what really connects with them. It's the little things that encourage the most. A ministry is a high and a holy work, and the laity is instructed to esteem them for their work's sake. And then thirdly, third thing that came to mind is obedience. Obey the church. Practice biblical teaching faithfully. Support the standards where the church has set them. You know, I could say it this way. If you really want to make it difficult for your pastors, crowd the line, push against the fence, be out of harmony with the church. But if you want to make their job easier, and notice I said easier, I didn't say easy, because the job is never easy. But if you want to make it easier, which I'm sure you all do, stay in harmony with the Bible and the practices of the church. You know, it takes a lot of courage for your leaders to stand for sound doctrine, to faithfully preach the Word of God week after week, year after year, decade after decade. You know, a church leader's job is to be aware of the subtle errors that are sneaking into the church. And that type of watchfulness requires tireless effort. And what a blessing it is when you have faithful, loyal people. And be careful what you're listening to. You know, the one thing I'm noticing in the interactions we have with our young people at EBI is not only is it youth that are listening to a lot of podcasts and media speakers, but it's older. We older ones are getting caught up in it as well. And I'm not saying all of that is bad, but know who your speakers are. There's a lot of falsehood out there. There's a lot of good radio speakers, dynamic radio speakers, that are not solid. Be aware of that. Margaret and I were just in a Mennonite church recently in another community. And she went to the ladies' Sunday school class. And the Sunday school teacher was saying how she was listening to all these podcasts that week and mentioned some of the speakers' names and so forth. And then she got into expounding the Sunday school lesson, and she referenced some of the things that these speakers were saying in reference to the lesson. And her own daughter-in-law, who was in the class, brought it to her attention that not everything that she's saying is the way we would understand it. So be careful. Listen to your leaders. You know, if you wanna listen to something during the week, I'm sure your messages are recorded here. Listen to them. Re-listen to them. I'd like to paraphrase Hebrews 13:7 a bit to read like this. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So have confidence in your leaders, submit to their authority. Why? Because they're watching over your soul. Now, all of these podcasts, speakers, are they watching over your soul? Are they responsible for you? So listen to your leaders. And then the fourth point is support your team financially. Don't be like the church that prayed this way for their ministry team. They said, God, you keep them humble, we will keep them poor. You know, and in talking to church leaders, probably the number one source or thing that burns them out is lack of finances. Just the constant financial struggle. Or just knowing that the rest of you are going on with life, you're doing well financially, you're in those trailer factories that are making who knows how much. I won't even quote figures anymore. I can't keep up with them. But how are your pastors doing financially? And there's nothing out of the way for you to walk up to them someday and just ask, you know, hey, are you doing well financially? Is there some way that we could make it easier for you? You know, in 22 years of, well, it's more than that, I won't even, 40-some years of ministry, I guess. I want to appear younger than I am. But in my years of ministry, I have not one time been asked how we're doing financially. Not one time. First Timothy 5:17-18, let those that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now the double honor here, as I would remember, understand it, is that church leaders are worthy of both respect and financial support. Now, I want to, and by the way, I don't know how you're doing here financially, how you handle your pastor's finances here. I don't know if you take a monthly offering I'm pretty sure that they're not on salary, because we Anabaptists don't do that. But I want to point something out that I learned some years ago when I was asked to at our BMA convention to speak on the issue of church finances. And so as I was studying that, I became aware of something that I'm going to quickly share and then quick dodge it and go on. And hopefully there's no tomatoes here. But you know, in 1 Corinthians 11, we all recognize that passage as, some people call it the veiling chapter, some call it the headship chapter. You know, headship is taught there, the veiling is taught to be practiced as a sign of submission, right? We all understand that. We wouldn't think of not practicing that, right? But go back two chapters, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, and Paul talks about, at a minimum, supported ministry. Now, I'm not an advocate, and I'm not promoting salaried minister. I personally would not have wanted to be on salary to where I cannot go out and work with my hands. I would not have wanted that. But, and our church did do well with financial support. I don't want to give the impression they didn't. But what I want you to think about, what I came to realize in studying this, the liberal Anabaptists, Mennonites, the liberals practice 1 Corinthians 9 and wouldn't think of not having salaried pastors. We practice it, but they don't practice 1 Corinthians 11, okay? We practice 11 faithfully and skim over 9. Now, I just want to ask the question and then I'll drop it there. Which group is most in error? And we need to address that. So moving on, church leaders should not need to take money out of their personal finances to fill their role in the church. So one of the first things that the church did where I was ordained is we went up to Grand Rapids, Michigan to Baker Book Club, and I picked out study helps and those kind of things. Church paid for them. So study helps, going to conferences or conventions or whatever you call them, ministers' meetings, those kind of things, reimburse your pastors at least for their mileage expenses. They already have lost wages. You know, are you aware of that? When they take off, their wages stop too, just like yours. So, going to respect. How do you respect a pastor? What's it look like? You know, for me personally, it's very distracting for people to be in and out in a service. In fact, during COVID, after we started meeting again and sitting segregated a little bit, scattered around, and they put us old people in the back. And so what that did is I became aware of how many people were going in and out of the service. And I think the one Sunday morning I counted in the 40s that went out. Now, I give room for taking children out. I give room for anybody that needs to go out. But try and do your business as much as possible between Sunday school and church. It does give messages. Something else, if you don't agree with everything the preacher says, and there's probably cases like that in any situation, but how are you going to approach them? Approach them with respect. I had a situation some time ago, quite a while ago, where a sister in the congregation sent me an email after a message. And it really felt like she was disagreeing on some of the points I made. And yeah, it just didn't feel good to me. And maybe it was me not receiving it well as much as her giving it. But I emailed my fellow ministers, and I just asked them to respond to yesterday's message. How did it come across? Were any of my points not biblically correct? What can you help me with? You know, and I just asked for their feedback, and I didn't say why. And they both responded that no, they didn't catch anything. They felt good about the message and this and that, and so one of them asked, "Why are you asking?" And so I forwarded the sister's email to him, and I said, "This is why I'm asking. How should I respond to this? What should my response be?" And so they felt like that was really unjustified and inaccurate how she understood it. But it required some kind of response. And so they encouraged me to point out the reasons why I came to the conclusions I did. And so I wanted to graciously do that. But you know, not only had I spent hours and hours and hours in researching that stuff and then presenting it, but now I'm needing to go back and spend many more hours to defend it. You know, so be aware of that. And certainly there's nothing wrong with asking for clarification, but maybe in the way that you ask is good or bad. Probably and again, appreciate what your pastors are doing. The thing that would discourage me the most, probably, that Satan used on me the most, was that thing that I already mentioned, being there in the study, preparing for a message, when I could have been doing something more fun. And the other thing that I would say is follow your leaders' examples and teaching. You know, Margaret and I have done a number of foreign mission trips, and we just look forward to that so much because we can go over there, and I can preach a message at 10 o'clock at night, going to midnight, getting to bed at 2 o'clock, and doing that night after night, and I see results. There's people coming to the Lord in those meetings. There's lives changed. And then I come home, and I put myself out, and I put messages together, and I preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and see no change, see no difference. And, you know, maybe everybody's already as spiritually mature as you can get. But, you know, we ministers like to see growth in a person. We like to see. And so testimony time, Sunday morning in church, I don't know if you have testimony time here or not, but share with the congregation what the Lord has done in your life that week. You know that the pastors want to know that you're growing, that you're getting something out of it. Let your leaders know that you notice and appreciate all they do for the church. And from experience, I would say this: God will bless the church and the people who take care of the persons God has given to shepherd them. And so let me close with saying a few things about the wives of your church leaders. That can be dangerous because I really don't know your pastor's wives that well. But I'm going from pastors' wives that I do know, and my own is one of those that I know best. But remember that every woman is different. Give them the gift of allowing them to be exactly who they are, and let them be the woman that God made them to be. Don't put them in a box. Don't put expectations around them that they may not even be able to meet. Don't dump your problems on them. Now, they will want to give you a listening ear. They will want to hear the struggles that you're going through and all of that. But understand this about your pastor's wives. they are also human. They have their own issues. They have their own set of problems. And if everybody dumps theirs on them, on top of their own, can they handle it? What would it be like for you? And so just as the leaders' wives don't need the weight of unreasonable expectations, neither does her family. I've seen a lot of ministers' children give up on the church because of the expectations that they were not able to fill. Think of your pastors as living in a glass house. And you can see everything they do, because that's really how they feel. That's how they feel it is. Everybody sees what our children do. And maybe she and her husband, the pastor, are having struggles of their own in their own relationship. Maybe they have family, extended family relationship issues. When that happens, embrace them for who they are. Encourage them like you would anyone else. You know, in order for them to have a good family life, for them to have the strength to do their job well, they're going to need time together. And so don't put your pastor's wives on a pedestal. They deserve your respect, but they're not perfect. And if you demand too much, it's likely they're going to fail, or at least feel like a failure. They do have insecurities. They can be hurt by your words and actions. You know, the other thing, and I don't know, I didn't ask your pastors how they feel about this, but I have heard it from a number of ministers and their wives. Church leadership is a very, very lonely job. And you know, I've seen it in our own life. I've observed it in other pastors. I've observed it in my son-in-law and daughter who are now in the ministry. That, you know, before we're ministers, we have friends and we can go out and do things together and we can have fun and we can have serious times and all of that. And once you're ordained and you have that title, people are scared of us. I don't know why. But it's just like, or maybe it's that you don't think your pastors have time for you to go to a fun event for the evening or whatever it is. But include them. They need it. Now, be sensitive about their schedules, of course. And it's okay for pastors to say, you know, I'd love to do that, but tonight I really do need to spend getting ready for Sunday, or tonight we have family night, or whatever else it is. It is okay for the pastors to say that. But let them say it. They're not going to say it if you don't invite them. You know. And let your leaders and their wives have close friends. You know, that's something else we were told. the night of our ordination is we cannot have church, or we cannot have close friends in church. That's sad. That's sad if that's the case. Our closest friends should be the people we're closest to. And so, be friends. They need a safe place to vent, a place where they can laugh and be silly at times, and a place they can weep over their burdens. And so pray for your leaders' wives. Appreciate them without being possessive. And I would close by saying that most people have no idea what kind of battles the average pastor and his family face on a daily basis. There's a lot of battles in a pastor's life, in a pastor's wife's life. It's a lot of battles. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement. They need your support in the church standards. And they need your financial support. Most of all, prayer. And just loyal, good, loyal church members. And I commend you as a congregation for doing whatever you're going to do tonight. Having a night of appreciation for your pastors. That's good. That's a start. But you know, this is only one day out of 365. What are you going to do the rest of the year? So God bless you. And I would say I have no reason to doubt that you are, as a congregation, are taking good care of your pastors. I have no reason to doubt that. But I was asked to share some of the points I did, and so thank you for not throwing anything.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Marvin. That was powerful. I think one thing that stuck out to me most was the humanizing, the focus that you have that our pastors are people. And you said, learn to know your pastors. And that hit me. I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, we learn to know the people that are close to us. I have, growing up with my family, I have learned to know them. I know very specific things about them. I generally speaking know what they like, what they don't like, and often how they'll react to situations that happen, because I've been in very close contact with them for a long time. And to have that same kind of relationship with our pastors is a very valuable thing in the church and in our experience. So thank you very much for that. This time is your time, and there's a mic available that Conrad will have to pass around. So feel free to share whatever God has laid on your heart. So we open it up to you.
Yes, thank you so much, Marvin, for what you shared. Yeah, one of the things that stood out to me was kind of what you shared, Weston, just humanizing the pastors. And I think often we, and I guess maybe I should speak for myself, almost put them on like too spiritual of a level. Like now they're a pastor, they're this spiritual being, and I only interact with them like about their messages or whatever, instead of seeing them as a brother in Christ, a very human person. So one thing I really appreciate about our pastors is the way that they do interact with us on that really human level. You know, one of my close friends growing up was Leighton, and I just thank you, Leighton, that you have continued that. And I think I could definitely see, you know, there's been a growth and maturity and spiritual thinking, deep thinking. But I'm also, you know, thankful that he hasn't completely lost some of his ridiculousness and okay with just cutting loose and engaging in pretty stupid humor. You know, so anyway, I appreciate that, Leighton, and thank you for that. And also your willingness to hear my questions, and even when you're tired, like, say, all right, here's Courtney again with his soapbox, but engaging me on that level. Thank you. And Keith, I think I've mentioned before for you, I just love the care with which you take in preparing your sermons. And, you know, some of the most memorable sermons in my mind are the ones that you've preached. I know I've mentioned the one about heaven before, the ravens coming down and pecking the word of God out of our hearts. And yeah, just different messages in my mind. And so I thank you for your care for the word, in preaching the word, and just your emphasis on needing to stay grounded in the word. Yeah, I guess maybe I won't take time to go through every pastor, but James, you've taken a lot of time mentoring me. I appreciate your input there. All of our pastors, I guess, I feel like even though they're very busy, they want to take time, and they're open to that, and they really, really care for each of us. I feel that personally, and so I just thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Court.
I'm just very grateful for the pastors and deacons that we have in church, I know they put a lot of time and energy into it. I've seen it firsthand growing up, you know, and seeing Dad and Mom very active in church work, and really appreciate all the time and energy that's spent in that, and something that will last for eternity. I want to share both something that was a blessing, but also I right along with it, I want to share a confession too. When we first came back from Myanmar, we as a family had talked about that we would like to just once a month go to visit a pastor family in church and just specifically go be with them in their home and pray for them. And we made it around to a couple of their houses. And then I guess life got busy and we kind of stopped doing that. And so this is where the confession comes in. I'm sorry we stopped doing that. And I would like to start that back up again. So, yeah, and in doing that, we also received a blessing in doing that. It was just another way to connect with them and pray for them and see them outside of just church. I just really appreciate each one of our pastors and deacons who I sense they have, they all have a servant's heart. I see that in our pastors, and thank you for the time and energy you put into your messages. I have been very, very deeply impacted by your messages. So thank you.
Thank you, Bronson.
Yeah, one thing that I've really appreciated, or that stuck out to me pretty quickly when I started attending here was the teaching that was being shared by the pastors, but specifically the plan that they had to share what they were bringing to us. I've been to some churches where it feels like every message is just kind of picking a passage out of the Bible and we're going to preach on that. And for myself, I don't really know what's coming next. And maybe that's my fault for not asking. But for a teacher, if you're in school, you would know what's coming next. You know what the lesson, what's going to be shared, and that builds anticipation. It helps the students to already be thinking about some of that stuff, and to be engaged instead of just kind of being, if I show up to class and I have no idea what's going to be shared, I don't really participate well because I'm not set up for it. But yeah, I really appreciate the plan you all have, and I know it takes work. I've seen it's an intentional, it takes intention to bring that and also to share, here's what we're going to, you know, in a month when I preach the next time, here's what I'm going to be talking about. That's a vision, that's a plan, and that helps me. Like, I've left many Sundays here and been like, man, I can't wait till the next time he preaches, because it's going to keep building on what the pastor preached on this Sunday. So yeah, keep that up. Keep doing that. It helps myself stay engaged, and to get a lot more stuff out of the message, because of the plan and the vision for it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, David.
Yeah, first I want to thank Marv for sharing what you did, and that was really good, just very, very good. I remember 4 Debbie and I, as our boys were growing up, we had this deep had this deep desire that that our children would be friends with our pastors. And we prayed towards that. And God has just provided that so graciously. And I'm just grateful for that. And I think a few things I want to mention that just stand out about our pastors and deacons. And one is that, and I want to say publicly, that we find them to be trustworthy. And we're under no illusion that they're perfect, the pastors or their wives, as we aren't. But it grieves me, to be really honest, it grieves me when I hear someone say that, well, our pastors aren't trustworthy. That is a very, very serious accusation. And we have found our pastors and deacons to be trustworthy. And so I want to just bless each of you with that, and encourage you to continue with that humility. And I probably, somewhere along the line, have told every one of the pastors and deacons that you have to be humble. Keep staying, you know, be humble. And maybe that's because of us. God has taught me so much about that. So when the pastors or their wives, when something comes up in a conversation that you have, one way that we can bless them tremendously is give them the benefit of the doubt. If there's, you know, maybe in a conversation with someone else and something comes up, rather than tending to slide towards the negative, just shift towards the positive. And then if there's something that there needs to be conversation about, they're open to it. We can go have that conversation. But let's, I think we can, we can make a difference in that way, a positive difference. Lastly, I want to thank the pastors and deacons and you wives for living examples that we can follow, that our children can follow, and our grandchildren. And I want to encourage you to continue with lives that are evidence of your communion with God, that you know Him and that you're known by Him. So Debbie and I just love each of you very, very much.
Amen. Thank you, Dad.
Yes, I'd also like to just commend our leadership team. When we moved here almost 8 years ago, there had been a good bit of troubled church history in our past, and probably one of the biggest things that struck me with time as I got to know you as a leadership team was your humility, and I commend you for that. That does not come naturally, and the teamwork that you show, that you work with together, doesn't come naturally either. And God bless you in the way you work together. Keep it up. And it is so powerful to us. It is it builds trust. It builds confidence as you set that example of working together.
How I appreciate the ministry here. And one thing that stuck out, what he said this evening about people expecting more out of the pastors' families or their wives or children, like growing up as a bishop's daughter, that was a very lonely place to be, because you were expected to walk this very straight line. And I remember for myself, I had a lot of fear, because I knew my dad would be dealt with if I didn't walk that line. And what I want to say is I appreciate that I do not sense that here in this church. It makes you feel like you belong. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I want to bless the pastors' wives here, that we can be friends. It's not these different levels, and I just really appreciate that I can be close friends with them.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Delilah.
So I appreciate each one of the pastors, but I guess what I have to say is for their wives. One of the things that drew me here, when we first come here, one of the things that made me feel at home was the fact that they took the time to sit down beside me and just chat. And I don't know, it just really blessed me, because I felt I was on the same levels. I also want to bless each of you for your support behind your husbands through the hard times, because I know there's times that you feel like probably throwing up your hands and say, is it worth it? But just standing behind your husbands is a huge blessing to the rest of us.
Thank you, Loretta. Conrad, back.
So, Marvin, I wasn't quite sure what to think when you said maybe they're afraid of them. I was like, yeah, you might not want to ask some of that question, because we might actually answer it. But I just want to bless the pastoral team here for the grace that you all have extended as I seek to move past some fears from before. And I'll just tell one little story from back during my college years. One Sunday evening I had company over, and I think it was Cart and Laurie and James and Glad, and I forget if there was anyone else in the group. And afterwards we played code names. Well, I didn't have enough chairs for everyone, so we just all sat around on the floor, and James just stretched right out on his tummy, and I forget who made a good move, but it must have been someone on his team, but he was kicking his feet up and down and just hammering that little basement floor for the sheer joy of it. And I remember just kind of quick stealing a glance. I had to be careful because he was off my blind side and I couldn't turn my head and stare at him, so I was really working to steal that that glance. But I remember being like, wait, I'm learning about power distance in my culture classes, and he's like the head pastor and he's doing this. Wow. So all that to say is sometimes it's the little things that speak the loudest, and don't take that and live in fear because, oh, they're all watching all the little things, but just to say, as you've lived your lives, it has made an impact in a lot of little ways that add up, and I just want to bless y'all for that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ayana. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you all very... Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know this passes appreciation, but I guess I felt led to... Well, numerous things have been going through my mind tonight. I'm going to start with I shouldn't even mention it, but the angle that I was sitting at and when Marvin was talking, I just saw that little white crown of his head, and I just couldn't stop thinking about the mitre that the Pope wears. But then he would look down at his Bible, then I'd see that it was his hair. The point is that I appreciate hearing a white-haired brother. The older I get, the more appreciation I have for that. And so thank you, Marvin, for what you shared. I want to speak from the other side, and just, I've just said so often to Glad, we have some really, really good people in our congregation, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I think of the older families, the older couples in the church. I just don't know. I've heard stories of pastors that have sort of bucked older, you know, people in the congregation. It seems like, you know, there's always sort of a holding back and from some of the older ones. And we just have not experienced that at all. We have had nothing but support. So I just want the congregation to hear that and how much that is appreciated. Yeah. Many of you have given us things countless times, more than I can remember. And Glad and I sort of have a habit of, we just, you know, if a monetary gift or a gift card or something is given, we have an envelope and we just put it in there and we save it for special occasions. And so, you know, this past trip, we pulled out that envelope and we had how many gift cards? I don't know. Oodles. dozen, I don't know what it was. And cash. Over $1,000 worth of cash. And we just bought things that we normally would not have bought with that.
Excellent.
And I just want to thank you for that. It was special. And so that's something that I just wanted to share with you. And then the last thing is just my co-pastors. This past week on Thursday, we made a flying trip out to Faith Builders at an event there that we needed to attend. And in the course of conversation over lunch with another couple, said that we were on sabbatical. and they really probed us about it. And so we just shared, and one of the last questions they asked, they said, so what happens? Is there, do you have people in place to carry on? I said, there's a good team that I have full confidence in that is carrying on quite well. In fact, they, I don't think they even miss us. So.
Thank you, James. Anyone else? Okay. At this time, we would like all of the pastors, all the couples to come forward, and we have something that we would like to present to you, Austin and Melinda. Yes, sorry, the entire pastoral team to come forward. I don't care where you come up, you can just come up here. And then Austin and Melinda have put some stuff together that we would like to give to you. So if you want to come on up.